Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. Your son to the contrite of heart, Lord, have mercy. You came to call sinners. Christ, have mercy. You are seated at the right hand of the Father to intercede for us. Lord, have mercy. Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, bring us to life everlasting. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and earth peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you. We give you thanks for your great glory. Lord God, Heavenly King, O God Almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Only Begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let us pray quietly by ourselves for a moment. Amen. May your grace, O Lord, we pray, at all times go before us and follow after. Make us always determined to carry out good works. For Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated now.
A reading from the Book of Wisdom. The wicked say, "Let us beset the just one, because he is obnoxious to us. He sets himself against our doings, reproaches us for transgressions of the law, and charges us with violations of our training. Let us see whether his words be true. Let us find out what will happen to him. For if the just one be the Son of God, God will defend him and deliver him from the hand of his foes. With revilement and torture, let us put the just one to the test, that we may have proof of his gentleness and try his patience. Let us condemn him to a shameful death, for according to his own words, God will take care of him." The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The Lord upholds my life. The Lord upholds my life. O God, by your name save me, and by your might defend my cause. O God, hear my prayer, hearken to the words of my mouth. The Lord upholds my life. For the haughty have risen up against me. The ruthless seek my life. They set not God before their eyes. The Lord upholds my life. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord sustains my life. Freely will I offer you sacrifice. I will praise your name, O Lord, for its goodness. The Lord upholds my life.
A reading from the letter of St. James. Beloved, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every foul practice. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peaceable, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, without inconsistency or insincerity. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace, for those who cultivate peace. Where do the wars and where do the conflicts among you come? Is it not from your passions that make war within your members? You covet, but you do not possess. You kill and envy, but you cannot obtain, and fight and wage war. You do not possess because you do not ask. You ask, but do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia. God has called us through the gospel to possess the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee. He did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise." But they didn't understand the saying. They were afraid to question him. They came to Capernaum. Once inside the house, he began to ask them, "What are you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent. They had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. And he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If any wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." Taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. This church feels like home. But before you clap too much, I came sooner than I should have. because this I got a real difficult problem with balls, that sort of thing like that. And we haven't gotten to the place where they try to get things settled. We're sort of back and forth and back and forth, so we don't know where we are yet. And so after this, I'll have to wait until we get this thing settled, at least reasonably so, because otherwise I would have lots of difficult problems, which we won't speak about. So just think about that. But anyway, I'm glad that I'm here, and we're going to have a meeting of the council right afterwards. And what I'm going to talk with them about this I've mentioned to you already. If this parish is going to continue, it's going to require you, the people. Priests are not the church. Remember that. Father Dennis, we're certainly so grateful to have him. He thinks much the same as I do. Of course, I think that's a good idea. But it's, as while we're here, we can keep the church as it is. But he and I are not going to be here forever. And that is why it's so terribly important for St. Sands to continue with the vision that we have, that God is love, or begin to love each other, and that is what is primary. And unless you carry that, unless the council gets into this and brings us all together, it won't happen. Because eventually, Father Dennis and I will not be able to be here. I say this not to scare, just to say this is the reality. I would love to stay here forever, but 92 is kind of wearing on me a little bit. But just keep that in mind. You are the church. And as we use this time when we're both here, you'll be able to get that deeper and deeper inside of all of us. And then, our bishop wants us to stay, because he knows we've got something good going. But you see, if all of you are together with this, he wants us to stay. And all of you go there. Say, Archbishop, we'd like to continue, and this is why, and make it strong. He's already leading that way, but he's not all by himself. Think of that. This is something, had I known it, and I have learned so much since I first came here, I didn't have that realization that you are the Church of St. Stanislaus. I am not. I'm part of it. But it's the people. The people. That's something we kind of forgot a lot of times. Back when I was a young priest, a lot of the pastors come in, they're brand new, and they would say, you and I, people, are going along just fine. As long as you pray, pay, and obey. That's your job, to pray, to pay, and obey me. That's the way they started things. Now you can imagine this didn't make everybody think, oh, isn't that wonderful? And maybe it took place back then, and maybe worked. Doesn't work anymore. We know more now. We're not back in the Middle Ages. People know that now. But you are so important because you, I'm just part of it, that leads you in prayer, that reminds you of some things, That's little. You are the church. You carry that with you for your own good, for the good that is distributed. You are important. You are the church. I did say that, didn't I? I can't say it often enough. Because we got so much of this. The priests are kind of the church. We're just here to lead you in prayer. And maybe if there's something we know that you don't, then the priests can mention it. You are the church. As long as you are the church, St. Sans will stay. After Father Dennis and I are no more. I learned a couple of things in the last 6 weeks. One is, I think of as God is hugging me. Then there's another part where God is beating on me. Let's take a look at that just for a little bit. When I first went away to my new place where I live, the very first day I looked out the window, there are these beautiful trees, way, way high, way, way high. And the leaves were just kind of flickering and stuff like that. And I looked out and I say, God, the love that is God is in those trees and in me and in everything that exists. That was such a good feeling. The presence of the infinite love of God through everything that there is, making exist everything that it is. I thought, oh boy, that's really nice. That was the hug. It's another part too. I'm probably not the only one in this, but I'm stubborn. I'm sure a couple of you are stubborn too. Stubborn. There's part of me which like a mule. Now, if any of you have ever thought about or how mules get trained, well, mules are very, very stubborn. And mules will pay no attention to the person unless you get their attention. And how do you get the attention of a mule? You crack them over the head. And you have the mule's attention, and then you can work with the mule. Now, I am like a mule, and I'm sure I have some company too. And so what had to happen? We all run into things which are hard. It comes in many ways. And this is the part versus the bang. Sometimes a mom and dad lose a child. And I can't imagine how that hurts. How that hurts. That's like the cracking the mule over the head. Because it hurts like hell. It does. There can be other kinds of things we can find. I've got an incurable cancer. What am I going to do with my family? And it hurts. And it hurts. Now, God doesn't send these things, the good things, the bad things. God is there to work with them. With the nice, huggy stuff, that's fine too. The hard stuff, God doesn't do those to us. But God uses them. And just like when we have that, we're able in some kinds of way out of the pain and the hurt, we learn that God is with us through it all. Doesn't mean we don't hurt. Doesn't mean not at all. But we begin to realize that God is with us through good, through bad, through everything. Everything. We are always loved. We are always held. When we feel good, and we don't. And my experience has been, I learned a little out of the hug. But I learned a whole lot more on being knocked over the head. I guess God knows we're all pretty stubborn. And God needs some of the bad things that happen to us to be able to grow. I know a million times things more now. Well, maybe not a million, but at least 100. Why? Because God cracked me over the head. God didn't do that. Life did that. But God says, I'm going to use that to get that John. I'm going to get that guy. It's because he's important, because he's a people. He needs to learn. And I will use the pain, and there was lots of it, where I didn't, for a time, didn't know where I was. Everything was a mystery. It's like being stranded in the desert. Where am I? How did you get out? I don't know. Got my attention. Got my attention. And thank God it did. And I'm sure God is ready with hugs when things are kind of nice and helpful and good. And God is ready too when we're smacked over the head. In some kind of way, we learn in a way we never would otherwise. No fun on the way. But when we hit something like that, let us not despair. I don't get it, I don't understand it, I wish this is over. And let God work. I'd just like you to think about that. And you see, as this happens, we let God work in us through good and bad times. We change. And God only knows. Until I got lost, didn't know where I was. What's going on? I don't know. It's like hell. And God uses it. I know so much more now. I got a whole lot to learn. But when something hits you really hard, this is God getting your attention. And it's worth it. I love you. You know why I love you? Not just because you're cute, but you are. I love you because you're people. And all people bear the image and likeness of God. This does not come from being a priest. It doesn't come from being a bishop, a pope, or anything like that at all, or somebody fancy anything like that at all. This comes from being a human being. Can you imagine what it'd be like if all of us would look and see each other as a human being bearing the image and likeness of God? Please think about that. The worst things God turns into the best of all, but it's tough on the way. So I'm hopeful that as we start to get to other stuff that's inside of me and very strong and make me wondering when something's going to happen, just remember who you are. And when we look at each other, when we look with the eyes of God, you're cute. Because you're people. You're in the very image and likeness of God. And nobody has that in this world except people. I promised myself I wouldn't talk so long, but you know how long that lasts. But it is good to be here. And I'll have to wait now until we get things more settled. This, so far, that was just, I came too soon. I'm kind of glad I did. But just remember that. Who you are. Who your neighbor is. Even who the people in Washington are. No matter which side we're on. That's all baloney. The image and likeness of God is there. Whether we're using it, whether we're abusing it, because we're people. And also, too, there's a final kind of thing. We have many different kinds of spiritual things that go on across the street, some in here. And that is how we grow and how we learn things. So take advantage of that. We're going to have the spiritual evolution comes on. We have many different kinds of practices that are across the street. What are they for? Why are you here? Not to fulfill a duty. You're here because we can all open our hearts and say, God, come in. I give you permission to come in. I want you to come in. And then that love that is God can come in and change us. And gradually and slowly, we become different people. We're all beautiful on the inside. Let God make it more. Amen. Okay.